This is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, hopefully today we're going to have Alan Quist with us talking about what's happening in education, but until Alan gets here, let me share with you some of my thoughts and some of my concerns, and certainly one of them, you know, is that the way that the intelligence community manipulates our reality, and you've heard me quote many times Edward Bernays, the father of modern day psychology and propaganda, who said, you know, the intelligent and intentional manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this essential mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling force within our nation. We are governed, our ideas are formed, our tastes suggested, and certainly our minds molded largely by men we have never heard of. And that's really what goes on today. People don't understand how we're manipulated. And I was thinking back to the time of the Kennedy assassination. Now, what they did is they had all sorts of clues and all sorts of books and all sorts of information designed to confuse us. There was one group who thought that the mafia was behind this because, of course, Ted Kennedy and Jack... Bobby Kennedy and Ted Kennedy and Jack Kennedy had supervised the going after the mafia. And then there were those who said it was the oil men down in Texas because Jack Kennedy was taking away their oil depletion allowance. And then there was a group that said, no, it was really Fidel Castro because, of course, Lee Harvey Oswald had tried to go to Cuba, to communist Cuba. And then there was a group, and I'll have to admit I very, very foolishly for a time believed it was the communists in Russia who were behind the Kennedy assassination. Now, there are other books that will tell you it was really the Mossad. The Mossad really killed Kennedy. It was the Jews who were behind his assassination, or the Zionists, or call it what you will. And there are all of these clues out here to confuse us about who was really behind the Kennedy assassination. We saw that with the Oklahoma City bombing. There's one line of thought that it had to do with a man named Yosef and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed over in the Philippines, because Terry Nichols was going over there to visit them. And then there's another group that will tell you there was a terrorist cell, an Islamic terrorist cell in Oklahoma City, and the John Doe one was a member of that Islamic group. And then, of course, there's the Elohim City group, the group of Christian identity people, and Andrea Strassmeyer. And there are a lot of people who think that that's where this whole thing was hatched. And then there's another theory that think that it was a number of Aryans or skinheads, members of the Aryan Nation, and that they were the ones helping Timothy McVeigh. All of these various theories out here, with good evidence and many, many books to justify each one of those beliefs. And all of them were aimed at confusing us. Just as today, if we look at the 911 tragedy and we try to figure out who is responsible, well, after all those dancing Israelis who were there, at least cheering when the buildings came down, it was the Mossad was behind it. No, it was really the Pakistanis who were behind it. No, it was the Saudis who were behind it. No, it was the Iranians who were behind it. And I can give you all sorts of information suggesting it was really Iran that orchestrated the attack on the Twin Towers that morning. And all of these theories have been presented simply to confuse us, to keep us from seeing the obvious. And we'll be back here in just a moment, hopefully with Alan Quist, and of course we'll discuss more about this incredible story here in just a moment at Radio Liberty.
It's a fact. You can legally eliminate credit card debt, which has been fraudulently created by the banks. Since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve has not been held responsible for its own debt. So why should you, the hardworking American, be harassed for yours? There's a double standard when it comes to being responsible for debt, and unlike the Federal Reserve, the people of this country can't print more money when needed. Day of Jubilee has created a successful program designed for people that want to stop harassing calls and threatening letters from bill collectors. This is not a debt consolidation company. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their credit card debt instead of living each day in fear. It's time to turn your life around. Call Day of Jubilee, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024 and ask for Robert. Don't wait any longer to get your life back in order.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and we have certainly one of my favorite guests, Alan Quist, who is on the front lines of the battle to expose what's happening in education, the No Child Left Behind program, the mental health screening they want to bring into our schools, this conscious, organized effort to dumb down our children. Alan's been a teacher for many years. He certainly taught at the university level, but he's involved with a little group up there in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, that really is on the front lines of this battle, and that actually one of the members of that group, Michelle Bachmann, was just elected to Congress, and it's amazing what a handful of people with determination and, of course, God on their side can accomplish, and they've had a tremendous impact on their state. So with that as a background, Alan, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, Dr. Stan, I appreciate very much your having me on your show. Thank you.
Well, tell us what the latest things are as far as the effort just to dumb down our children, destroy their values, and really create a barrier between the child and his parents.
Yeah, you know, there are so many things. No Child Left Behind has been around, for four years plus now, but it is up for reauthorization and refunding. And so we are we're working with other groups. Of course, would like to kill this thing because for all kinds of reasons, but at least we would like to make some major changes in it, hoping that we're going to have the opportunity to stop it. For all kinds of reasons, let me just say for starters that it's certainly contrary to the best interests of the United States, and that means contrary to the best interests of our schools, our kids, our teachers, and let me just add this footnote. You'd be hard to find very many, even public school teachers, that think this is a good idea. They have to implement it, and for lots of reasons, even they don't like it.
Well, of course, centralized planning just doesn't work. In fact, there's always the law of unintended consequences, and there's no problem facing America today that a new government program won't make worse and will have terrible consequences. So where in the Constitution do you get the right to do this? The tragedy is most of the people back in Congress don't even know what the Constitution says. Although they swore to uphold it, they don't understand that they're violating the very oath of office they've taken. And I agree with you totally. Do you think we can stop this thing from being renewed?
You know, that's certainly going to be difficult. At the same time, we have to do what we can. And we think the information about it is powerful. And, you know, it's kind of hard to know where to start with that. But let me just mention that there is no question but what the No Child Left Behind law is composed in order to comply with a international agreement that Bill Clinton, well, first George Bush Sr., but then Bill Clinton signed on to in the year 2000, shortly before he left office. And I don't think there's one citizen in a thousand that knows that what No Child Left Behind is all about, really, is a international agreement, and I'll just say it's a radical agreement, but let me just start with the fact that it's an international agreement. And this international agreement goes back to 1990, and it was then first called the World Declaration on Education for All, and of course these things always have nice sounding names. And in that agreement, 1990, there was the agreement to reconvene in 10 years, 2000, in order to update or evaluate and then extend the international agreement. And that agreement took place in 2000 in Dakar, Senegal. And that agreement then is referred to as the Dakar Action Plan, how we're going to implement this Turkey. And there are all kinds of radical things about this agreement, but for starters, again, part of the agreement is that you must have a national system of education. You can't have state and local system because the whole thing assumes a national program. And so the takeover of education policy by the federal government, which really, and it didn't totally begin, but largely began with Goals 2000 back in the early 90s and then continued with No Child Left Behind in 2002, is first and foremost intended to put the national government in the position of dictating education policy, even though that is directly contrary to the Constitution of the United States, which makes it very clear in the 10th Amendment that education policy belongs to state and local governments as well as to private entities. And let me just add one footnote on that too, Dr. Stan. I teach government in the schools, and even the most liberal textbooks will recognize that education policy is a power reserved for states and local governments, even the most liberal ones. So there's no question but what the Constitution says. This is not the business of the federal government, certainly not the business of the UN, which is behind the international agreements, but it's the matter of local, state, citizens, school boards, parents, and the like. So that's kind of a mouthful.
Well, you know, as you and I both know, there are people back in Washington, D.C., who have no loyalty to America, who really do believe what we need is a ruling international elite, and they anticipate they're going to be part of that elite, and they know what really good for this common folks. And the tragedy is we have people who've sworn to uphold the Constitution who have no intention of upholding it. If anybody had the courage, they would call them what they are. They're subversives intent upon destroying this nation, and yet they seem to hold the reins of power in both political parties and are totally dedicated to this internationalist plan to bring our children's minds under the control of the UNESCO and other international organizations.
That's really true, and they people know that if the public were to find out that this that the Constitution requires that education policy be state and local, and if the public were to find out that No Child Left Behind is really our form, our package of the UN's international agreements, then I'm confident that the public would absolutely raise the roof and demand that this thing be killed. And so the individuals behind it know, and I'm going to say including the press, okay, these individuals know that they cannot let the public know that this is all internationalism, globalism of the worst kind. So this is one of the, you know, there are a lot of best-kept secrets, but this is this is one of them.
This is one of the better best-kept secrets.
And thank God for your show and shows like yours that are willing to bring the truth to the American public about what's going on. Let me there, too, add, Dr. Stan. You know, what I'm saying here is not, I mean, it's not primarily a matter of my opinion. I mean, anybody, all you have to do is read the documents. I mean, go to the UNESCO website and read the reports that the United States sends about how we're complying with these UN agreements on education.
Sure.
This is not my opinion. I mean, this is simply the facts. This is the truth. This is not debatable, okay? Not debatable at all. This is just the way it is, and people need to find out this information.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I just hope that we can get the American people ready to care about what they're doing to our children. The tragedy is so many people just think that this could not be going on, because if it was going on, why, Rush Limbaugh would certainly warn the American people that we're being betrayed by our leaders. But, of course, he's not about to do that. Well, anyway, of course, if this bill can be stopped, how would we go about doing it? When will this be coming up for renewal?
Well, it's coming up this coming year. And, I mean, behind the scenes, the bill is already being worked on. You know, the Democratic majority is working on it, and basically all they want to do is spend more money on it, which obviously, you know, makes it worse. So 2007 is the year for reauthorizing the funding, and if that doesn't happen, the bill is dead.
Well, of course, now, how can people get in touch with your organization and get on your email list, as I am, so they'll keep on the front lines of this and know how to respond and when to respond? So
right.
Why don't you give out your website and how people can get and perhaps even get on your email list?
Well, they should go to our website, which is simply edwatch, E-D-W-A-T-C-H, just the way it sounds, edwatch.org. And on our website is our phone number and information on how to get on our email update list and things like that. And our focus for 2007 is going to be stopping No Child Left Behind. And so it's a very clear focus. We're going to be working with other organizations. One is Eagle Forum, which is Phyllis Schlafly's organization. And then we're hoping that we can bring in other organizations. Listeners out there, if you're members of Concerned Women for America, if you are working at all with Family Research Council, you need to let these organizations know that they need to work with us in stopping No Child Left Behind. We can't do it by ourselves, but we've got the information. We can play a lead role, and the bigger coalition we have, the better. EdWatch.org, we're going to keep information coming out about step-by-step what's happening with the bill as it's going through committees and things like that, what amendments we need to put on, so people will know when you contact your legislators, your senators, your congressmen, you're going to know what amendments, what language we need to put on. And, you know, Dr. Stan, sometimes the best way to kill something is to kill it by amendment. And we know how to do this. We've done it before.
Well, do you have any support back? Do any of the legislators on your side?
Well, you know, sure. We unfortunately.
You got Michelle Bachmann back there.
I tell you, having Michelle Bachmann is worth a couple hundred.
She's a remarkable lady.
She is. You know, let me put it this way. I would rather have a knowledgeable Michelle Bachmann, and she is, than a hundred people in Congress who are not knowledgeable and don't care. So she's going to play a big role, but then. You know, there are others that have some sense of what is happening. We think that Tom Tancredo, for instance, can be helpful. But, you know, we don't know a lot about other people. So we need to bring more people in who are in Congress, who are in the Senate, who can help us.
Okay, fine. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Alan from Ed Watts.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon 222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Send your loved one a timeless treasure this Christmas. Get the book, The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell. Set in a simpler time in rural America, when a father and son could harvest their Christmas tree without the fear of being accosted by a UN Eco-Goon squad, when a mother could prepare her family's holiday meal without worries of chemical-laden, genetically modified foods, a time when a man could travel the roads freely without paying tolls to foreign monarchies. The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell, a holiday adventure, is a wonderful tale in which the adventure and the danger are real. And the joy of Christmas comes from the hearts of a small, humble family, rather than a big box department store. Written by Steve Culver, fellow patriot and GCN listener. Get your copy, The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell, a holiday adventure. Available at Amazon.com or AuthorHouse.com, or by calling 1-888-280-7715. That's 1-888-280-7715. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
Here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is Alan Quist. We're talking about the No Child Left Behind program, which is basically where the federal government lays out certain programs that would be introduced in the school. But, of course, the problem with this is this is not dedicated to reading, writing, and arithmetic and making the children really understand the world in which we live in. It's dedicated to changing their attitudes and beliefs and feelings about things. And we're not stressing excellence in education. We're not stressing the great classics. We're not stressing the importance of America. These children are being indoctrinated in environmentalism. Oh, my goodness, global warming, and we've got to hug trees. And then, of course, this whole idea is of collectivism, not the individual. It's how we all get along together and help one another. And But, of course, we do this not because, of course, we should as Christians, as people of God, but because this is the way the state dictates it and wants it done. And so we change their attitudes and their beliefs and their feelings, and we're destroying the very essence of America, which was the individual under God, governed by God. And they've taken God out of our schools, knowing exactly what they're doing. They're doing this all throughout the world because there are people who really do believe in a one world government, a new world religion, a new ruling class. So pick up the story there, Alan. And certainly these changes in the educational system, I don't think most parents really understand why their children really don't understand history and what's going on in the world.
That's exactly right. Nor do they understand geography. And you see these studies coming out, for instance, how deficient high school seniors are in geography and basic facts of history. Well, the reason for that is they're not being taught history. They're not being taught geography. Let me, with regards to what you just said, Dr. Stan, about the ideology or the politics of the left that is being aggressively taught through No Child Left Behind, let me recommend to your listeners that they go to our website, edwatch.org, and order there one of the books that I've written on this. It's called Fed Ed, The New Federal Curriculum and How It's Enforced, or just all you have to do is know Fed Ed. This book goes into detail on the curriculum that's being forced on the schools through No Child Left Behind by the federal government. And let me just explain a little bit about how it works. One of the features of No Child Left Behind is that it, by law, requires every state to have what are known as state education standards. And by standards is not meant achievement, it's meant content. That is, it means here's what you have to teach. Okay, I mean, here's the curriculum, here's the worldview, here's the ideology that you have to teach. So it's required in the law that states formulate that. So all of a sudden states get hit with this requirement. We have to have these detailed content standards. And so how do we do it? And then the people that work for the Department of Education come in and say, well, guess what? We have these all written already in what we call the federal standards. Now, this is the federal curriculum, Fed Ed, that I talk about in this book. And so most states figure, well, why reinvent the wheel? And they're probably pretty left-wing anyway. And so they just adopt the curriculum that has been put together by the federal government. Then No Child Left Behind requires that states have to base their achievement tests on this curriculum. And so what first starts out is the federal curriculum becomes a state curriculum. Then this becomes the content of their state test, which with No Child Left Behind requires they have to administer to the kids. Then the federal government comes in with its own test. It's called the NAEP. It uses this as a check, if you will, on what the states are doing. Well, what is the content of the NAEP? It's this same radical curriculum of the federal government, which is, as you say, Dr. Stan, it's the wacko environmentalism, and it's the weird and multiculturalism, which is really teaching kids that every culture is equal and the moral systems of all cultures are equal, and there is no truth. It's just, you know, everybody has a perspective. And history ceases to be real history. It becomes what they call perspectives on history. So what they mean by that is the Native Americans have their perspective, and the Mexicans have their perspective, and the whites have their perspective, but nothing is true. And so there is no real history being taught. So in indirect and devious ways, No Child Left Behind essentially forces states to adopt the curriculum, the radical curriculum, the ideological, the political curriculum of the left in its schools. And again, the public just needs to know. By the way, this book that I published now about 2 years ago, Fed Ed, is now in its fourth printing, and so it continues to sell very, very well because people want to know. And it's sold almost totally by word of mouth. Yeah, that one person reads it and says, man, I am going to recommend this, or I'm going to buy a book, you know, for my brother and whatever. Sold almost totally by word of mouth, and it's selling very, very well.
All right, fine. Well, I'm glad it is. It's an excellent book, and we'll be back here in just a moment with Alan Quist here at the Genesis Communication Network. And if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-800-259-5791.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNlive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called Wrist Ease, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. Wrist Ease comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, Wrist Ease is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. Wrist Ease is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. Wrist Ease provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and makes a great stocking stuffer. Honest, Wrist Ease provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order Wrist Ease now at wristease.com. That's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE, wristease.com. Once again, wristease.com.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Live 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs featured on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, ResearchedHerbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. Researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest today is Alan Quist. Our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. And, Alan, I'd like you to get one more time your website out and your email so people get in touch with you and get your regular email so that they'll know when this legislation is coming up and they can help you get it defeated.
Okay, very good. Our website, you know, once again, is simply EdWatch, E-D-W-A-T-C-H, EdWatch.org, and we invite you to come to our website. You can email us at EdWatch@lakes.com, just the way it sounds, EdWatch@lakes.com. And let me give out our phone number, too, which is 952-361-4931. 952-361-4931. And we love to have people contact us, and we will do everything we can to meet your needs.
All right. Now, what about the mental health screening? Are they still trying to get that into the schools and get all sorts of terrible ideas planted in the minds of our children through the so-called mental health screening?
That's correct. And we've decided that we need to change the terminology there a little bit, and so we are to be a little bit more accurate and give people a better idea what it is. This is part of No Child Left Behind, and part of No Child Left Behind is its goal of having universal psychological screening, okay? Universal psychological screening for preschool children. So we're talking about kids that are 2, 3, and 4, maybe 5. Universal psychological screening for preschool children. And we have every reason to believe that the psychological screening is going to include all kinds of questions about the home and all kinds of questions that really deal with religion, worldview, patriotism, things like do you have a gun in the home, are you ever physically disciplined, all this kind of thing. Because you cannot, from the point of view of psychology, you cannot accurately screen 3-year-olds for any kind of mental illness. There is no test that allows you to do that. So this is all a smokescreen for imposing the federal government's, unfortunately, radical political worldview now into our children.
Yeah, but don't you really think that a lot of this has to do with collecting dossiers on every American citizen?
Sure. Everything's going to be the part of the permanent record on this child. And so the permanent record on your child is going to be whether there's a gun in your home, whether your parents use physical discipline. By the way, UNESCO has been after Canada because Canada signed on to the Rights of the Child Treaty to make it illegal to use any kind of physical discipline on children. And UNESCO telling Canada you have to do this in compliance with the treaty that you signed. So that is the mentality that is behind this. But then, yes, all of the data collection is going to include then a permanent data file, and whatever the screeners say about this child, oh, we think this child is whatever, schizophrenic. I mean, there are no tests to measure any of this. But anything that is said about that child or about the family is going to become part of the permanent record of the child. And this is Big Brother government running our lives, collecting all the data, and now, you know, data or knowledge is power. We always have to keep that in mind. And so it's big government taking authority, control, of all of our lives, including our 2 and 3-year-old children. That's what it's all about.
And, you know, it's amazing the lengths that they'll go to spy on the American people. This is simply another means of doing it. The latest one we just heard about this last week, where most people do not know that they've been planning what this ability to spy on everybody for a long time, and they have planted in everybody's cell phone the ability to switch on a microphone when you're not using your telephone. Now, they can monitor everything you say, know on your cell phone already, you know, simply when you're talking into it and using it, and they can even monitor where you are. But now they can use your cell phone, they can switch on the microphone so that they can hear what you're saying when the telephone isn't on, and they can listen to anything that's said close to that. And so if you have a cell phone, you never know when they may be doing this. And the fact that they've built this into the cell phones routinely means that this has only been years in planning, so they can spy on every American and really eventually on everybody in the world. They know exactly what they're doing. It's just the average American cannot believe anything could be quite that wicked, or that they would be trying to use our children to collect dossiers on everybody listening to this program.
So one of the new ways that this universal psychological screening is being forced on the states is that you have states now by rule saying that if you are going to be a licensed daycare provider of any kind, then you must agree to psychological screening of all the kids in your daycare.
And, you know, I mean,
there are 100 ways that they're enforcing this, and the public, you just need to know that's one of the many ways that that is coming.
Well, you know, here in where I live, they have all these television advertisements about preschool and how much better children are going to be if they go to preschool. My goodness, you know, if they go to preschool and get started in the second or third grade in the preschool, they're going to be so much more successful when they grow up. And they're programming our minds to believe something which I believe to be a lie. Is there any evidence that preschool really helps the children by the time they're out of the fourth or fifth grade?
You know, Dr. Stan, there are all kinds of studies that show that by the end of the third grade, any academic benefit, which was meager to start with, any academic benefit from any kind of preschool, including Head Start and everything else, is gone. So there is absolutely no positive connection between preschool and academic success. In spite of that, the treaties that we have signed on to, the two international treaties, require that states spend big money to expand preschool education, even though it's at best a waste of money. And, of course, it's a lot worse than that. So why does No Child Left Behind have all kinds of money for expanding preschool? It is because this is what's in the treaties, this is what the left wants, and it is not going to help the academic achievement of our children.
But there's obviously there is some reason for it. These people are not stupid.
That's right. It's the curriculum. Let me give you, readers, let me give you an example of what takes place in the preschool once you have a certified or accredited preschool that follow the national curriculum. In this case, their standards known as the NIAC standards. Here's what your kids are going to be hearing when they're laying down on their naps and they're 2.5 years old. They're going to hear a preschool provider read a very pretty story, which is a love story, between two swans. And it goes into a lot of detail about the courtship of the male swan to the female swan and so on. And halfway through the story, when children have really gotten engaged into the story, this romance story, the gender of the male swan changes, and all of a sudden, you don't have a male swan, you have now two female swans. And so you have a gender change halfway through, and you now have a lesbian relationship. By the way, there are no lesbian swans, okay? But this is what the kids are being indoctrinated with when they're 2.5 years old, getting ready to go to sleep. It's how wonderful lesbian relationships are, and we're going to celebrate this first in the world of swans and then in the world of people. Dr. Stan, it's one thing like this after the other, and so kids are indoctrinated through the radical stories, for instance, that they are read, and then the games they're taught and so on to this leftist worldview.
But, of course, what they're doing, you know, is in this young and impressionable age, they're really raping the moral fabric of our society. They're introducing them to sex when, why would you want to take a child, you know, 3 or 4 years old and try to get them thinking about sex? And they keep talking about sex and talking about sex. And they take all the mystery and all the excitement, all the modesty about sex away from these children. They're really raping their souls.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just mention, you know, I teach government at the college level, and one of the things that I point out to my students is that modesty, even though I say you've all been taught that modesty is just something devised or constructed by a culture and that every culture is different, you know, and that it's not real, you need to know that the basic concepts of modesty, even though there can be some cultural wrapping, the basic concepts are universal. They are real, they are absolute, they are written in the human psyche, and we need to respect them. Dr. Stan, I will have classes of 30 students where not one student has ever even heard that, okay? I mean, let alone agree with it. What I find is that once I explain it, they very quickly see, but of course that's the way it is. But they've never even considered that as a possibility because the education establishment hasn't even allowed the possibility that modesty might be real to enter their minds.
And, of course, you know, there are moral standards. God has moral standards. They've always been there. They always will be there. They just have to unlearn these. They have to reverse this normal process of individuals. Everybody really has an awareness of God. We've got to destroy that belief in God, that inherent belief, which is a very integral part of our souls. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. If you have a comment, we're talking about really how the educational system is destroying the psyche, the morals, the very soul of our children. Go right ahead, Alan.
Okay, let me go on to another matter of No Child Left Behind, because a lot of people in the public think that No Child Left Behind is about raising the learning levels, the achievement levels of all of our children, and that is absolutely not what it's about. And what No Child Left Behind is about, and Bush even says this, listen to his speeches, it's about quote-unquote closing the gaps, and it's about therefore closing the gap between the rich and the poor, the white and the racial minority, and it's about closing the gap between people who have what we'd call kind of a normal socioeconomic status versus those who come out of a deprived socioeconomic status. So it is targeted towards closing the gap between the low-performing kids and the bright kids. That's what it's all about. It's not about raising the scores of all kids. So what are we talking about? Let me use Minneapolis as a case study because I live not that far away. In Minneapolis, you've got a population that is largely minority. The illegitimacy rate in Minneapolis is the highest of any city in the world among minorities. Almost 80% of the kids in Minneapolis are born outside of marriage. So these kids, many of them, most of them, don't have a father. And many of them, if they have a home to go to at all, go to a home that's empty. So what happens? They grow up in the streets, no fathers, no positive role models, and the like. So somehow a school and a teacher is supposed to raise the achievement of this child that grows up in the streets without a father to the achievement level of somebody that grows up in a home where there are parents and where there's a home to go to. Dr. Stan, this cannot be done. Absolutely impossible. And as a teacher, I will say it this way. I am an educator. I am not a magician. Nobody can do that. So why do we have this ludicrous goal of closing the gap? There are two reasons. Number one, this is what the international agreements require. They require not that we raise the achievement of student kids generally. It requires that we close the gap.
In other words, basically what you're doing is you're going to have to lower the child who really would do well, do better.
You have to do that.
You have to lower them down.
You absolutely have to do that. So what else does No Child Left Behind say? Well, it says that every child must be brought up to minimum competency, okay? And when I say every child, the law says every, underline, not 98%, not 99%. Every child is going to be brought up to minimum competency. Okay, so you're going to take all these kids growing up in the streets of Minneapolis, they're in gangs, they're on drugs, their mothers are prostitutes, I mean, whatever, and you're going to raise every one of those kids up to minimum competency. Number one, it is impossible. Number two, schools, because they're forced to do that, are going to set their minimum competency level as low as they possibly can, because the higher they set the competency level, the more difficult it is for them to meet the requirements of No Child Left Behind. And there are severe penalties, eventually having the federal government take over your school if you don't meet the requirements.
So what you've got to do is systematically dumb down everybody.
That's exactly what you've got to do, and that's exactly what happens.
And, you know, Alan, when you tell this to people out there in the listening audience, they eyes glass over and they said that couldn't be true. And yet one only has to watch Jay Leno, if you can stand his vulgarity, and, you know, as he talks to young people on the streets, you know, they call it jaywalking. And these young kids, some of them don't even hardly know their own name.
They don't. And, of course, they don't learn history. By on design, they don't learn geography, and then a third of them are taking the Marxist math, known as integrated math, and so when they get to college, they can't do college level math, and so you're stealing from our kids the ability to compete on an anywhere near equal level in the job market because they can't do math, and on it goes. So this is No Child Left Behind is a radical bill. This notion of closing the gaps is totally a Marxist concept. It's not an American concept. In America, we want everybody to have the opportunity to achieve. And what they do with that opportunity is up to them. But we want everybody to have the opportunity to achieve. And those that are more gifted obviously need the opportunity to achieve at higher levels. But this closing the gaps is, number one, it's Marxist. Number two, it isn't going to work. Somehow in schools we're supposed to manage the tide so that the tide lifts the little boats but doesn't lift the big boats.
Alan, do you notice that the college students of today are not as smart as they were 20 years ago?
Well, they certainly don't have the information. I mean, you really start at square one. But where this is the most noticeable is in the area of mathematics, because in mathematics you have to prepare people to be engineers. And engineers, when they build a bridge, builds a bridge that either stands or collapses. Engineers, when they build a space shuttle, builds a shuttle that either flies or doesn't fly. And so reality is a good check on mathematics. Unfortunately, it's not a very good check in areas like I teach, which is government. But in mathematics, it's a good check. So what happens? One-third of the kids are raised in this Marxist math, integrated math. What happens when they get to college? They come thinking, because they've gotten good grades, they've taken all the classes, and maybe got straight A's, whatever, they think they're prepared to do college-level mathematics. Dr. Stan, they not only can't do it, they aren't even in the ballpark. And so colleges like the one I teach at, and colleges and universities all over the country, routinely now have to tell students directly or indirectly, we're sorry, but you do not have the skills that will equip you to do college-level mathematics. Now, you can take remedial math and learn what you should have learned 3 years ago, or you can do something else, like drop out of school or take a different curriculum. Dr. Stan, there aren't very many that are going to take the remedial math and take the grade school and high school type of work that they should have had.
And, of course, the trouble is that means our students can't compete in the world market. If we're a global market, our kids can't compete. America becomes a third world nation. God bless you, Alan. Thanks for everything you do. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
The statistics are heart-wrenching. According to the CWC, of the 43 million people who have served in the major wars, from the Revolutionary War to the Gulf War, 3 million never made it home alive. Most likely, each one of us can say we either knew someone who served or know a brave soul who is currently serving our country. Now there is a unique way to pay tribute to the courageous men and women who spend their lives protecting our freedom and to those who have lost their lives doing so. Davis Products is offering high-quality, solid-cast aluminum memorial markers for your American flag. Each memorial marker is specifically designed to represent one of 15 wars. All markers include a 3/8 inch pointed and threaded aluminum rod, painted and highlighted for an appearance that is unforgettable. What better way to pay homage to our enlisted loved ones? Davis Products memorial markers are only $9 a piece and can be ordered by calling 814-827-4946. That's 814-827-4946. Or visit davis-products.com. That's davis-products.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Let me mention, we carry the book FedEx, FedEd, and we actually have a four-tape set on this subject that we've been talking about, some of my interviews with Alan Quist. So that you can get the book, or you can get the four-tape set. You get the two together at a special decreased price. We carry the book, and then dare call it Education, by our good friend John Stormer. Brave New Schools by Barrett Schoss. All of these are inexpensive books, and they have such a wealth of information. And then, of course, the deliberate dumbing down of America by Charlotte Isabey. We recommend that to you. I mean, this is 600 or 700 pages, but so vitally important that you understand there's an intentional effort to dumb down the children of our country. We're dealing with evil and wicked people who hate America, and the last thing you do not want is smart slaves. After all, a smart slave might begin to realize what you've done to him. And, of course, they're deliberately damaging the minds of our children by water fluoridation. And, of course, if you're a black person, why, of course, the incident, your blood level goes up 6 times higher. Blood level of lead goes up 6 times higher in blacks and destroys their minds much more than it does in the whites. So, and, you know, this is all carefully documented scientifically. They know what they're doing. They're destroying the minds of these poor black kids. And but then, of course, they've also engineered AIDS so that it's much more susceptible. Blacks are much more susceptible. Half of the new AIDS cases in the United States are in blacks. It didn't happen by accident. They only make up 13% of the population. Why are over half the new cases in blacks? Very simply, the disease was engineered that way. And then, of course, you really need to get some of the material we have. We've got some great new material on the mercury and the fillings. We've got 2 new DVDs, actually, and 2 new on mercury. One of them is called Smoking Tooth, and certainly the other one is called Thimerosal. And then we have a VHS on the influenza vaccine by Dr. Ayoub. And if you need to get this information, in other words, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You want to get this information. You want to have this information. You want to help us get this information out. And then, of course, we have some great new DVDs on water. We have, of course, the traditional Is Your Drinking Water Safe? Put out by Dr. Kennedy, but even a newer one entitled Let the Truth Be Told, and it's 4 half-hour interviews. They're actually a little shorter than that, so you can put them on community television. They're poisoning our children with water fluoridation. You want to get my video? It's called The Hidden Agenda, and then, of course, the syllabus that goes with that that has all the scientific studies. Ladies and gentlemen, if we could just get the American people to realize they've been lied to do on this one subject, we might be able to save this country. We might be able to. I don't know that we can or not, but we have to try. And we have this great information here at Radio Liberty. We carry books on water fluoridation, the fluoride deception. We carry books on mercury, evidence of harm. They're destroying the minds of our children, and they've specifically targeted the blacks. But don't you feel that they're also destroying the minds of our white children? So, if you'd like to get the information we're talking about, our number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you want to understand DDT, why they outlawed it, and it's led to the death of almost 100 million people over the last 33 years, why, of course, you want to get our poor tape set on population control, or better still, get the population control special that's got all sorts of great information in it, including that 4 tape set. And then we do hope that many of you out there will want to get my talk on planned population reduction. If you'd like to get the National Security Study Memorandum, the formerly secret, top secret publication came out in 1974 over Henry Kissinger's ceremony talking about the major thrust of American foreign policy, population control. Dr. David MacArthur's complete testimony, we send you 1 or 2 pages for nothing. Want the complete testimony? We have that too. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, 2 Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of 2 Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
as you have it. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills, overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters they're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And well, right now we have with us Paul Proctor, who has some great articles up on newswithviews.com. But before we get to that, I just want to mention, if you listen to our shortwave, our evening program, now not this one, this two-hour program, which is goes 3 to 5 on the West Coast and 6 to 8 on the East Coast, but our evening program that goes from 8 to 10 on the West Coast and from 11 to 1 on the East Coast, at the 5.860 broadcast, the 5.860 broadcast is changing to 5.835. That's 5.835. So it'll start tomorrow. And so if you listen to our evening program, and please let others know, we're changing our frequency, and they've only told us today, and it'll be changed tomorrow from 5.860 to 5.835. And with that as the background, let's go to Paul. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. How are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine. I was fascinated by your last article up there on News with Views, and want to tell our listeners just a little bit about it.
Well, I sat back for a few days watching the interaction, the exchange between Joe Fair of WorldNet Daily and Pastor Rick Warren. It seems Pastor Rick stopped in and paid a casual, cordial visit on the president of Syria, a terrorist nation, and got caught saying some things that weren't true, and he was used for propaganda purposes. And then when his hand was called on it, he tried to deny that any such thing happened.
I think basically he said he didn't see any discrimination against Jews or Christians, something of that sort, wasn't it?
Yeah, he tried to present Syria as a moderate nation, or I believe, as he put it, they don't allow extremism of any kind, is what he actually said in a video. That well, Joe Farah asked me. He said, "Well, do you have any? Did you make any recordings or any videos of any kind to or take notes to back up your allegations?"
That
and he said,
"No,
we didn't record anything at all over there." And well, then a video of him in Syria showed up on YouTube, the website that you can access videos with, and his church had put this video up that he had indeed recorded walking down through the streets of Damascus. And in it he said all sorts of things, including that Syria does not allow extremism of any kind, which is, as you know, not the case.
Well, of course, Syria is a dictatorship. Assad is a dictator, as was his father before him, a rather brutal dictator at that. And so, you know, why would, of course, a Christian minister be paying homage to a ruthless dictator, which is what Syria is?
Well, what was fascinating about it is Joe Farah has been sitting on the sidelines with respect to Rick for many years, and he even admitted so in his first article. I mean, told him several things about him, but he would never respond to the unfortunate things that Rick was saying and doing, because they were all church related and they were all biblically related. Well, Warren stepped into the political ring, and Joe Farah was waiting for him, and he used some of the same tactics and some of the same excuses and dialectic double talk that he used with respect to the church. And he got caught. And so it's just more of the same.
All right, we're going to be back. We're
going to be arena.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with Paul Proctor, and we're going to be talking about the church growth movement and its impact on America. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Ordinarily, I do not like to get into any discussion of ministers or differences of views, whether some people are pre-trib in their belief, and some people are mid-trib in their belief, and some people are post-trib, and some people are pre-millennial, and some people are post-millennial, and some people are amillennial, and some people are Calvinists, and some people are Arminians, and I don't think a discussion of this or really talking about other people's ministries is appropriate. But once in a while, when there is a force within organized Christendom that is leading Christianity away from its traditional beliefs, I believe that somebody has to speak out on this. And of course, we have a major movement in Christianity today that has trained over 400,000 ministers, that is into so many of our churches, that is coming up with a plan. It's called the World Peace Plan. It is a plan that is being carried out to the entire world under the auspices of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a godless organization that is interested in using religion to push their agenda. And, of course, the man who Time magazine, which is, of course, his establishment and hates Christianity, the man who Time magazine picked as America's pastor, a man named Rick Warren, you know, has actually... is actually pushing this world peace plan. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Why would Rick Warren belong to a godless organization like that and to the Oxford Analytica, which most people have never even heard of? But these are these internationalist, globalist organizations that are dedicated to the establishment of a world government under a ruling elite and a new world religion. And so I think that you'll have to forgive me for actually bringing up this subject, but I believe it's important. I think it needs to be talked about. And with us today is Paul Proctor, who's written a fascinating article. You can read it on newswithviews.com. And I hope you'll go there, newswithviews.com, and read Paul Proctor's article. And it simply deals with the fact that recently Rick Warren went to Syria and said, oh, there's no evidence of, you know, of persecution of Christians or Jews here. There's nothing extremist about this country. This is a dictatorship, a ruthless dictatorship run by a man named Assad, whose father before him was a ruthless dictator. So why is this being endorsed publicly and globally, this ruthless Muslim dictatorship, by, of course, the man who's pushing the World Peace Program? Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Paul Proctor. Paul, why don't you pick the story up there?
Well, he wants what everyone wants, and that's unity. And so with unity in mind, something has to happen first, and that is peace. And for global unity, to have a global peace, well, we have to put our differences aside, be they political, be they theological, or whatever the case may be, economic, and we have to find common ground. And in order to do this, we have to compromise. Well, you can compromise on a lot of things, and there's nothing wrong with compromise on certain things. But when you're talking about absolutes, for instance, the Word of God, you cannot compromise the Word of God. When the Bible is specific about certain things, when the Bible is specific about obedience, then we have to embrace those absolute values, and we cannot compromise them for the sake of unity. And that's the objective here. It's a form of relativism, religious relativism is what I call it. And this plan for unity is no different than any of the other plans for unity that have been since the beginning of time. It's a rebuilding of Babel. It's bringing good and evil together in order to achieve peace and harmony, and it just can't be done. We live in a fallen nature where sin. We live in a fallen world where sin is present, and there's good and there's evil in this world.
But of course, the thing is that the modern church doesn't really recognize evil. They don't like to talk about it. They certainly don't like to talk about the fact that God brings judgment on individuals and on nations. They want everybody to feel good, and certainly not to stress doctrine, because that makes some people feel very uneasy. We want to entertain people. We want to get them feeling good. We want them to leave church feeling good about themselves. And then we see this reflected in society today. I mean, certainly we're all sinful people, but society reflects the church. And when the church adheres to the teachings of our Lord, well, you have a moral society. And when the church turns against those teachings, and, well, anything goes, and, well, of course, your divorce really isn't so bad, you have to understand, and we begin to equivocate, and then we see a nation in decline, as we are today, with many of our ministers. We find the man who created the National Association of Evangelicals was a closet homosexual and drug user who was using his position at the highest levels of our government to undermine Christianity, even writing to Senator John Warner and telling him to forget about all these things, these amendments to your Defense Authorization Act that says that ministers got to be able to, in the military, have to be able to pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, forget about that. That isn't important. Here's a man who hates Christianity, heading the National Association of Evangelicals, with 30 million evangelical members behind him, and speaking with the authority of the evangelical church. We got real problems in Christianity today, don't you think, Paul?
Yeah, where we get off on track. I studied this thing for many years, trying to break it down into a more understandable, a simpler understanding, so that I could communicate it easier, because it's a complicated subject. And I determined that really what this boils down to is what I call the two R's. And that is, we set aside the absolute values of Scripture in order to achieve results and relationships. Now, there's nothing wrong with results and relationships, but when we make them our agenda instead of obedience to God our agenda, then we're in for a lot of problems, and we're in big trouble. And I don't believe the Lord's going to stand by and let us pursue our own agenda, be it behind a Christian veneer or with Christianese language, and he's not, because that's hypocrisy. That's acting, that's pretending, and that doesn't have God's interest in mind. That has the world's interest in mind, and so what this form of Christianity, if you want to call it that, it becomes a type of humanism, a socialism. It becomes a form of collectivism, and it's anything but biblical.
But of course, it's successful. I mean, how can you knock success, Paul? I mean, here are some of the biggest churches in America follow this formula, and look at the results.
Yeah. Yeah, we have churches that are full of lukewarm believers, or people that don't believe at all.
Yeah, in fact, they call that, I think, Laodicea, don't they? The Laodicean churches.
Revelation called it the Church of Laodicea.
And, of course, well, this is what we were to anticipate in the latter days. In Thessalonians 2, they talk about, before the man of sin is exposed, there'll be a great falling away from the church. And all these people are saying, well, I'm a Christian, I've done all these wonderful things in the name of Jesus Christ. But we're told in the scriptures that Christ may very well say, I never knew you. What horrible words to hear. Because I think it's so easy to go along with the flow rather than to take a stand against the minister, against everybody else. And if you do, they'll throw you out of the church. Not a very Christian thing to do, but you'll just be told, you're not wanted there anymore.
Well, you're viewed as interfering with God or interfering with the church's vision, and they won't stand for it. They'll just simply ask you to leave, and you'll be marginalized if you challenge the leadership. You'll be isolated. You'll be vilified, and you'll lose every friend that you have, because they will be forced to choose between the consensus or the absolute truth of God's word. And fewer people these days are willing to sacrifice one of those two R's, which is relationships, for the sake of the truth. They just won't do it.
And, of course, the thing is that this is really a carefully planned program of marketing. I mean, this is truly a totally humanistic plan. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It's a marketing technique. It's a controlling technique. It's what they use in corporations, what they use in government, what they use in any structured society. And now they brought it into the Christian church. And it's sweeping across the nation, indeed, sweeping across the world.
Yes, it is. And unfortunately, the church at large does not have the discernment to see what's wrong. And as time passes, and these mega churches fill up with more and more pseudo-believers, or those who think they're Christians, but they really don't know the Word of God, they don't believe the Word of God, they just love this gathering that they enjoy each and every Sunday, and the music and the pomp and circumstance and all the fun and the activities and the programs and the relationships and the results, and all the while they have no idea what the Lord would have for them, because they're not really interested in His Word. And they will tell you that having that kind of emphasis on the Bible is legalism, which is absolutely absurd.
And I think that this is really true. And so what we've done is we've changed the message of the church. We've changed the music of the church, because now, of course, we've got the rock music there that stimulates an emotional response. That beat of that you hear in the, you know, from the drums and from the guitars, they know how the psychological impact it has on you. Same impact it has in the rock concerts, where you see the young people going wild. And in the church, of course, it prepares you to open your mind for a different message, not the message of the gospel, but the message of success and relationships.
Well, it's so much easier to manipulate a crowd of people when you get them together. If you use the right tools, if you use music, if you use flattery, if you use heartwarming stories, if you use celebrities, and if you use all the things that the culture seduces us with, that come in the form of marketing. If you use those same tools, you can manipulate people even behind a Christian veneer, and it's absolutely amazing how manipulable people are under those circumstances. And it's you can lead them to a consensus of thought by simply getting the herd around them to agree, and it's amazing how easy that is, because what happens is your brain just doesn't think anymore. You start feeling, and that's what they want. That's why they deal in felt needs, because they want you to feel, and they want you to think relationally, as Rick Warren calls it. And so the Word of God just gets in the way. It's just dry, meaningless, traditional legalism to the church of personal experience. And it's very, very convincing, very, very seductive, and it's very good for the ego, very good for one's self-esteem. But then that's not what the Bible teaches.
And, of course, this is why they use the multiple Bible translations, so that, you know, the Bible is the Word of God, but which version of the Bible? And you have so many different versions of the Word of God that pretty soon you don't know quite what to believe. And everybody can pick and choose exactly what they want to pick and choose and believe what they want to believe. And you certainly wouldn't want to believe anything that makes you feel uneasy, or you want to feel good. We all want to be happy. But, you know, don't we have to recognize we do have a problem? What about the global peace plan, Paul? Where does that fit in?
Well, that's his next wave. That's the next step beyond purpose-driven. It's just another extension of the social gospel. It just goes to a global level and gets everybody into a kind of a Christian volunteerism. So if you can get people busy doing things, then they don't think about right. right and wrong. They don't think about good and bad. They don't think about God's word. They don't meditate on the things that God would have us meditate on. They just get busy and do something. And they think by just getting
hold on, doing good works. All right, Paul picked that thought up there.
Well, good works are just not a replacement for faith. They just aren't. And the Lord says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And so when we have our self-esteem pumped up and we start getting involved in good works, it makes us feel good. And good works should make us feel good. But those good works can become a distraction. They can become a diversion. And they can become an obsession. And the next thing you know, here we are on a missions trip, and we're not doing really anything different than the Peace Corps. It's just done in the name of Christ.
Well,
and in fact, we're not going over there preaching repentance and faith. We're not asking people to take up their cross and follow Christ. You know, we're asking them to join the crowd and join the celebration and enjoy the party and the music and the fun and good health and marriage counseling and all these other things, psychology and just all sorts of things that the Bible doesn't even address. It just has nothing to do with the Word of God, but it just feels good and it looks good and everybody wants to be a part of it because everybody feels good being with everybody else. It's relationships. So if you get those results and those relationships, you think you've got an authentic Christian faith, when in fact you've bought into a counterfeit. And it can cost you your soul.
Well, of course, people are going to say, they're kind of counter with that, well, once saved, always saved. And so once I'm saved, I don't have to worry about anything anymore. I mean, God is going to forgive me. In fact, some people say, you know, since we live by grace, the more sin, the more grace. So, actually, we ought to go ahead and sin. That way it can be forgiven more. And there's some people who almost use this form of reasoning.
Well, love is certainly not a license. And I do believe that once a person is truly committed to Christ, I believe they are saved. But by the same token, there's a lot of people out there that think they're saved, and in fact they will never repent because they think they're saved, when in fact they never did have a conversion experience. They just simply added Jesus to their sinful life. And there's a big difference between that and sacrificing your life, giving up your life, and taking your cross and following Christ and living a life of obedience. It's just a totally different thing. And you'll hear a sermon now and again from Rick Warren about repentance. It's fascinating how when you call him, when you write articles about certain things and call him to account for the absence of repentance, how soon he'll come out and start talking about repentance. I did that with a pastor of mine. A pastor of mine didn't talk about repentance. He just never even mentioned the subject. Well, I wrote an article about it, and guess what? For the next two or three Sundays, he talked about nothing but repentance. But eventually, he got away from it again. And see, that's the sad thing about this movement, is it's so much like marketing, like you said, Sam. They adjust the message to get an impact. They adjust the message to get results, when it's not a genuine, heartfelt concern for the eternal salvation of the individual. It's about building groups. It's about building a church. It's about group cooperation, or consensus, if you will. And that has nothing to do with the scriptures.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest is Paul Proctor, and he writes for newswithviews.com. If you don't go to News with Views, let me suggest that you do. There's some excellent articles there. That's newswithviews.com. And Paul is simply pointing out that the modern-day church really isn't interested in repentance, because after all, if you're going to repent, you're going to have to admit you're a sinner, and nobody really wants to admit that there's a sinner. And yet, if you're not a sinner, why do you need a Savior? And so they've systematically undermined the basic teachings of the gospel. And then, of course, you know, they may very well mention this once in a while if somebody points this out, and then, but they get away from that. Everything is feel good, do good. And certainly there's nothing wrong with doing good things. There's nothing wrong with helping the widows and the orphans and the people in the third world countries. But can we really help them by joining together with people like the Council on Foreign Relations? And when the leaders of the Christian Church in America are members of a godless organization that is dedicated to the destruction of the sovereignty of our nation, that is dedicated to the bringing about of a one-world government under a ruling elite, when the leaders of the Christian Church of America join that group, do you think we're going to bring them to our position, or they're going to neutralize ours? So, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, maybe you disagree. Maybe you think that things are really going great in Christianity today, and we're really having an impact in America. Our telephone number is 1-800-1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And our guest is Paul Proctor. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, it is fascinating. Rick Warren's purpose-driven package seems to he seems to be able to apply that to just about any faith, religion, or group out there or country now. I mean, you can take it and just superimpose it everywhere, and it's not something that was constructed just for Christians, and he'll tell you so. He said it's universally acceptable.
In fact, even for Muslims, I've heard him say, you know, in my understanding, he said that, you know, this should certainly apply to the Muslim faith as well.
Well, that's why he was in Syria, and that's why he was trying to go to North Korea. I mean, he met with Jews to have purpose-driven synagogues. He's met with Mormons. He's met with just about anybody. I mean, it doesn't matter, because it's all about unity. It's all about bringing people together.
Well, now, what's wrong with peace, Paul? Wouldn't peace be wonderful if we could have it?
It would be absolutely wonderful. But we're not going to be able to achieve peace through artificial means. We're not going to be able to achieve peace by setting God's word aside. I mean, that's exactly what the Antichrist wants to do. I mean, it's shifting the authority of God and his word to the word and the authority of men. It turns our vertical faith horizontal. It turns it into an earthly thing, to where we're concerned not about with our relationship with God and obedience, which love. The Bible defines the word obedience with love, or vice versa, defines love with obedience. So it turns our faith. It turns it horizontal and earthly. And when that happens, then and we're concerned with the things of this world. And early on back there, Rick Warren made a statement. He said when the book first came out, they asked him, what was your reason for writing the book? And he said, my reason for writing the book was to help people develop a heart for the world. But that's not what the Scriptures teach. The Scriptures teach love not the world or the things of this world. If you love the things of this world, you're at enmity with God.
Well, I think that most people have forgotten who actually published the book and helped get it great popularity. It was a man named, well, Rupert Murdoch, who owns Zondervan. And Rupert Murdoch is certainly somebody we would never equate with, you know, being a supporter of the evangelical message. He's part of this whole complex of people who really want to bring about this world government and a new world religion. And Rupert Murdoch certainly is not an evangelical Christian. And his loyalty is not to America. He's a naturalized American citizen, having come from Australia. But one of the major forces behind this globalist movement, in my estimation, and of course, he actually pushed and propagandized this book and popularized the purpose-driven church, the purpose-driven life. So what we're really seeing now is Time magazine picking the minister, the America's pastor, who is Rick Warren. He, of course, then Rupert Murdoch popularizes his book. And these are the very people who would destroy America, who would destroy Christianity. And it may be that I don't think that Rick Warren maybe even understands the significance of what he's doing. Sometimes it's very hard to quarrel with success, but is this really going to change America is the question. Is America changing for the better? or is America changing for the worse today?
Well, you know, I've tried to be understanding and tried to cut Pastor Warren a lot of slack.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And of course, Paul was just saying he's tried to cut Pastor Warren a great deal of slack, but I've even been told, you know, don't criticize him, go talk to him. But of course, the problem with that is that Pastor Warren does not allow any dissent. If you are in his church or any other church and you disagree with him, or with his policies, the instructions are, get you out of the church, throw you out of the church. He says he doesn't do it, but he does. In fact, he advocates that, of course, in his programs. And then he turns around and denies he advocates it, which is a concern to me. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling here from Santa Cruz. Mike, did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, a couple of comments. Regarding the linking up of the church with the CFR and that whole camp of globalists, to solve the problems of Africa. Well, those globalists, et cetera, have been more like the cause of the problems in Africa. And you just have to know there's some devious purpose, and there will be no good end for the church's involvement in that endeavor. What do you think about that?
Did you get the question there, Paul? And certainly, Mike is just saying the idea of linking up these purpose-driven church and the peace program with the globalists to solve the problems of Africa. It certainly is sort of an oxymoron, because most of the problems of Africa and the world today have been created by these same globalists.
Well, and isn't it fascinating that the same thing's going on in the church? I mean, the purpose-driven life was supposed to cure the problems with the church. It was supposed to grow the church. It was supposed to set everything right. And what it ended up doing is dividing a lot of churches. Oh, some churches grew. A lot of churches were divided. A lot of churches, people were just simply expelled. It's confused a lot of people. It's gotten them away from the Word of God. So it's just business as usual. It's like the perfect scam where someone comes in promising a cure, and it happens to be the same people that caused the problem to begin with.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. Anything else, Mike?
Well, regarding the doctrines of the church, or whatever Paul was saying a minute ago, well, in the purpose-driven life, there's 80-some plus references to the Message Bible. In all of his passages that he uses, biblical passages, 80-some of those are from the Message Bible, which is a complete perversion of the Bible. And for an example of
hold that thought just for a moment, Mike. We bring other stations on board. Well, this is Stan, Dr. Stan back here. We've got Mike calling from Santa Cruz. He's pointing out that certainly if you read the various book, The Purpose-Driven Church, Purpose-Driven Life, why, there's something like over 50 references to something called the Message Bible, which even the man who wrote it did not say was an interpretation of the Bible or God's Word at all. And yet this is being stressed. A parody on the Bible, which even the author does not believe, reflects the Word of God, and yet it's being used as the Word of God. How would you respond to that, Paul?
Well, it's just typical. It puts God's Word on the back burner. You know, it hides the truth. It muddies the waters. It confuses people. And so they're left. Either they go back and try to find the scripture verse and the reference in the back, and then look it up in a legitimate Bible and find the truth. Well, they could be doing that all day, just trying to get through a few pages of his book. And so, consequently, most people aren't going to do that. They'll just simply, oh well, I'll just take his word for it, and they'll just take his twisted scripture version of it and swallow it whole.
And I think we should be very, very concerned about the Message Bible. In fact, with each new translation, it seems, starting about 100 years ago, they've eroded just a little bit more of God's Word, until pretty soon it's not God's Word at all. Anything else you wanted to say, Mike?
Well, initially the author, and his name slipped my mind, he tried to make the claim that his translation was a true translation, faithful to the original text, and I think enough people called him on it, but by the time the second edition came out, he withdrew that claim.
He actually said there really wasn't a translation of the Bible. It was just sort of a chronology, just using it as a sort of a framework. But certainly, he never intended it to be interpreted as the Word of God. And yet, this is being taken by America's pastor, a man who was selected by Time Magazine. Any more things, Mike? We got some other.
Well, for a starting point on what I'm saying. One could simply get a King James Version and open to Matthew chapter 6 and read the Lord's Prayer and compare that to the Message Bible. I don't even want to call it the Bible. The message of Satan is what it is. Just compare the two versions of how the Lord's Prayer reads. And if you're a true believer, you are going to be completely grossed out. If you want to go for some more, go to Colossians 1 verse 16. And you'll find Hermetic philosophy embedded in the very core of our doctrinal understanding of Jesus Christ.
All right, thanks so much for calling, okay. Mike. And I think it's important. I think that people maybe ought to actually go ahead and read the Lord's Prayer and the King James Bible or maybe the New American Standard and then read it in the Message and say, why are they stressing the Message Bible? What are your thoughts on that, Mike?
Well, when you load your church up again with the unsaved, people that have no knowledge of Scripture, they're at best new believers, or they're not believers at all. They're not going to have the discernment and the wisdom to know what's real and what's manufactured. And so, consequently, you can put anything you want to in front of them and call it a Bible, and they'll just believe you. And so. Over the course of years, our churches are just going to be full of non-biblical, quote-unquote, Christians. It's just, there's no wisdom, there's no understanding, there's no discernment, and so they're going to be led by personal experiences and medicine show salesmen.
And, of course, it's how you feel and not what the Word of God says. And that is not the way it's supposed to be. It's what the Word of God says, not how we feel. Well, let's go to Mike calling us from New York. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Not bad. How about you guys?
No complaints. Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, actually a comment. You mentioned that Rick Warren said, well, the style is to, appeal to people's hearts, open up their hearts. Can I read you what Apostle Paul's answer to that is?
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
As long as it's not too long, go ahead.
Nope, not that long at all. First Thessalonians chapter 2. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and we were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. And here it is. But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. So I think he's got it a little backwards there.
All right, fine. All right, fine.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that was, of course, Mike calling from New York. And I really think that what's happening is they're changing the message here so strongly, and until if you don't have a discernment, if you don't have the older people in the church, and of course many of the older people have literally been driven from the church because they saw what was happening. I know at one of my local churches, there was a woman there, certainly a pillar of the church. I'd known her for many, many years. And she was so disturbed at what was happening to her church that she was one of the largest contributors to the churches. She got the minister and all the board of deacons together and said, "You're not preaching the gospel." And the minister said, "Well, I know we're not preaching the gospel, but we want to get the people in the church, and then of course when we have them in the church, then we can get them to go to the study groups and learn the scriptures. But the purpose of our weekly, of course, sermon is to entertain and get the people in the church." And I don't think that should be ever the purpose of the weekly sermon. I don't think we're there to go to be entertained. And I think so much of this really stresses entertainment today, don't you think? Now, you know, with the videos and the skits and the dancing and all of these things, and especially the music and the praise songs, the repetitious praise songs over and over and over again, abandoning the old hymns. And these praise songs really have almost a hypnotic fascination. So you begin to, by repetition, you turn off your mind just as you would with yoga or any of the other Eastern religious forms of meditation. What are your thoughts on that, Paul?
Yeah, it's designed to get results, and they'll use any method they can, the latest, of course, being contemplative spirituality in meditation and chanting and so forth. If they can get you in an altered state, that only makes their job all the more easy, especially in a group setting. And they'll try any and all tools available to them. Anything that the culture tries, they'll try it as well, because that's essentially what they're doing. They're following the culture and calling it Christian, and it's actually the opposite of what being a Christian is. But if your church is full of if you've run off all the older folks, the folks with the wisdom and the knowledge and the experience and the discernment. And all you have left is young people that don't have an understanding of Scripture and don't have the Holy Spirit living within them to tell them this is godly and this is ungodly. Then the pastor can say and do whatever he wants, and they'll just applaud him and say praise God.
Well, don't you think there's most people are really sort of afraid to speak out? I mean, I know at one time I was attending a church and the music changed. And, you know, I was really rather incensed at it, and then finally I wrote a letter to the Board of Deacons, and everybody on the Board of Deacons agreed with me that the music was wrong, and it was unchristian, and it was unholy, and nothing changed, because none of them had the courage to challenge the minister.
No, they didn't want to go against the consensus. They didn't want to step out from the herd and say, "Thus saith the Lord," or "Thou shalt not." They didn't want to, because they wanted to hang on to those relationships. They wanted to cling to those relationships, and the leadership wanted to cling to the results, because we're growing the church, people are showing up, and so it must be a God thing. Well, you know, you can't, because people show up at a football stadium on Sunday and with 60,000 people, does that mean it's a God thing? Well, no, it's absurd. But yet we've bought into that principle. That flawed principle that says bigger is better and more is godly, and it's just not the case.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And as we look and see what's happening to America today, as we look and see what's happening to the morality of America today, as we look and see what's happening to our young people, to the soul of America today, and we know that torture goes on, and that attitudes and policies of our government has supported torture, because if it didn't, they wouldn't have written the Military Commission Act, and with an ex post facto law, actually done away with the charges so that you can't be convicted for torturing people in the past before the law went into place. Where is the outcry from our Christian leaders? And if they're not going to be incensed by the use of torture by our Christian administration, what is it going to take them to get them incensed? Or have we simply become so insipid, so unresponsive, we'll accept any excesses as long as we don't have to rock the boat and take a stand that might be controversial?
Yeah, the end justifies the means, doesn't it, Stan?
Well, it really does. It really doesn't, as you and I both know, because we're answerable not to man, but to God.
Absolutely. The Bible says, "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully." And that's exactly what these men and this movement is doing. It's doing the work of the Lord deceitfully, which is not doing the Lord's work at all.
Well, what can be actually done, though? Because, of course, it with 400,000 ministers, 400,000 ministers trained in this new way of thinking, and most of them having gone along with it because it leads to success, and success leads to money and personal gain and a bigger house and a bigger car and more security. Why, how is this ever going to change? How are we going to reach the hearts of men? Because most people think this is a great movement.
Well, the Lord's going to reach him himself. He's calling them out, and that's exactly what he's been doing here these last several years. And the church is being emptied of all the faithful. That's not to say that all of them that leave are faithful, but it's safe to say that those who understand that that heresy is being preached from their pulpit, and that our churches are filled with bread and circus rather than the Word of God, they're going to leave. They're going to follow the voice of God, just like Abraham did, just like Moses did, just like John the Baptist did, and all the apostles, and they're going to be called out. It's a sifting of the saints. I've called it a sifting of the saints back in the year 2000 when I wrote the first article on Willow Creek, another church much like Rick Warren's Saddleback Church. And that's what's happening. That's what I see is happening, is the saints are being sifted, and to see who will listen to the Word of God, who will believe God, and who will believe the wily words of men.
Now, first of all, the answer to my question was really, we're not going to be able to do anything about it. God is going to have to do that. That's the thing. And all we can do is be observers and point these things out and hope that perhaps some people will at least begin to think about what's going on and begin to challenge what's going on. But in the final analysis, why God is going to have to touch the hearts of men. Well, we've got Ron calling us from Arizona. So, hi, Ron. Did you have a question or comment for our guest?
Good afternoon, Dr. Stan and Dr. Paul.
He's not doctor, but his name is Paul Proctor, and he writes fascinating articles, and I always love to have him on.
Okay. I'll give you a little story of when I first learned about Rick Warren and some of the dangerous things that were going on with him. Is I told a friend of mine about it, and he thought I was nuts. And I kept giving him tapes to listen to and papers, you know, and talking about the dangers of it. And eventually, he woke up to the truth of it when his pastor started the 40 Days Purpose-Driven Life book. And my friend was actually going through it, reading it, and he realized that it was a waste of time. And then he started digging up research on it, and he started giving me stuff about how dangerous Rick Warren was. So it just takes giving people tapes, CDs, whatever, and waking them up to the dangers of it.
Okay, fine. I think appreciate it, and I'm glad you're out there on the front lines. We actually have a couple of four-tape sets and DVDs on this, and I know we've at least rescued a couple of churches that were going in this direction. Hey, look, thanks very much for calling. Anything else you want to say, Ron?
No, just appreciate your work, Dr. Stan.
God bless you, and thanks very much for your listening, and thanks very much for getting to your friend. Well, let's go to Lawrence in Minnesota. Hi, Lawrence, did you have a question for us?
Yes, I do. For Lent, I attend an Episcopal church here in St. Paul, and we're a conservative congregation, and for Lent last year, the ministerial staff wanted us to go through the Purpose-Driven Life, and actually we went through it for the 40 days because it fits with the time of Lent, and most people actually did not like it, and it really wasn't helpful to us at all, and the scripture verses that were used, or I should say the different translations that were used with the Bible verses, that was the number one issue that most people had, because it seemed like Rick Warren was only choosing versions that would say what he wanted them to say.
You're absolutely right. That's the technique that's used, Lawrence.
Yes, yeah, and so I do have one question, and my question is, in terms of using more contemporary music in worship, I'm only 30 years old, so I guess I don't have that much of a frame of reference to know how things were, you know, past that time period. But how can you reach out to a younger generation except by, you know, the musical styles that they're used to? Because we can look at, like, the early church, and they use musical styles that were, you know, accustomed that people were accustomed to there in, like, ancient Greece or the Middle East or in Rome. And so today, what would be the issue with using more contemporary styles?
All right, fine. Paul, would you like to take that on? What's wrong with using a temporary music to try to bring people into the church?
Well, the problem is you don't use music to bring people into the church. See, and that's where most people get confused on this issue. When I first became a Christian and joined a small Southern Baptist church, they sang old hymns. That's just what the church did. They sang out of the Baptist hymnal. Well, I was in the entertainment business, and I'm used to very sophisticated music with sophisticated production and sophisticated harmonies and chord changes. And when I first started hearing this stuff, I didn't like it. But the wonderful thing is that after I became acquainted with the Word and knowledgeable of the Word, those hymns started ministering to me, and those hymns met my needs, because it wasn't about the music. It was about the message.
And I think, James, the thing is that if we try to be like the world, then, of course, we've lost the basis of Christianity. We want to bring the people into the church, and we want to change them and change their hearts and change their souls. We're bringing people into the church. We're not changing them at all. We're becoming more like the world, and, of course, we have some great things, and we'll talk about it here in just a moment, about the real terrible things that music can do. Well, we've got, is this James calling from New York? Or is this Lawrence from Minnesota?
Oh, this is Lawrence.
All right, fine. We do have a 4-tape set on musical madness. We have a couple of books on this subject. You really need to get them. You need to read them. You need to understand that music can change your very heart and your very soul. And the music that we're using in our churches today is destroying our children. It really is. You have to understand that music really has a profound impact. In fact, it was Aristotle who said, "Let me control the music, and I can control society." So I suggest, if you'd like to know more, just give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. Get the books, get the 4-tape sets. We've done many, many programs on this, and believe me, we do not have to reach children, young people with bad music, because we reach them with bad music, we're going to give them a bad message. Thanks very much for calling. Sure. Let's go to James calling from New York. Hi, James. Do you have a quick question?
Yes, hello. I know the program's running short. I really appreciate all your guests that you have. You really enlightened me over the last couple of years, and you have tremendous shows. Just in the comment of before you had I'd commented on how social degradation and religious equals religious disconnection, and I really agree with that. I have one question. I don't want to bring it out of a category, but as opposed to certain religions. Misinterpretations the interconnectivity of religions, especially Muslims. I don't see how people usually, Christians usually interpret as Muslim. Allah is not the same God as in the Christian religion. I don't know where the disconnect or the misinterpretation is. I'm very confused as to that.
All right, fine. Do you want to touch that at all, on Paul? We're just about to...
Well, that's one of the things that is being tried on us right now. I mean, even President Bush was quoted as saying recently on the ABC News that that Christians worship the same God as Muslims, that we just have a different name for it, that their name is Allah, and that couldn't be any further from the truth. It's not. It's a different God.
And I think, James, what you have to understand, the only way we're going to reach Muslims is with Christian love, and not with this new fangled music with the drums and all of these other things. That's going to turn them off. Hey, we're going to have to run, but God bless. Thanks so much for calling. And Paul, thanks very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure. Again, this is Paul Proctor with NewsOfViews.com. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to actually read Paul's columns, you can find them at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. Anything you'd like to say before we let you go, Paul?
Well, we were touching on music there. I did do a series of articles on music in the church. If your listeners would like to read it, it's, the series is called A New Song. It's A New Song, parts 1 through 4, and I deal with some of the issues regarding music. And
all right, fine. Well, we hope to go to newswithviews.com and look up Paul Proctor. God bless, and thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Stan.
Bye-bye. And, of course, we've got a four-tape set called Musical Madness. We've got a couple of books on the impact of music, one by Kimberly Smith, one by Jack Wheaton, as I remember. But go to our website at RadioLiberty.com or call us at 1-800-544-8927. We've got a four-tape set on the church growth movement. We've got a DVD that's going into the background of the church growth movement. We recommend this is done by Dr. Klenk, a good friend of mine. Understand what this is about. It's about marketing. It's about transformation of the church. It's about changing the church to what Time Magazine and Rupert Murdoch would like it to be. And I think they're doing a great job. But somebody's got to speak out and say that this is going to destroy Christianity. It's going to destroy America. It's going to destroy humanity. Because believe me, the Council on Foreign Relations, which Rick Warren has admitted now to being a member of, has no use at all for Christianity. But if you read the publications as I have for 44 years, they will openly admit they're going to use Christianity to pursue their goal of the New World Order, the New World Religion. So please go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You've got to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Get the DVD, the video. Get the other information we have that will bring you into the fact that there is another dimension. There is another God. Although he's a minor God, he is still worshipped by countless millions of people throughout the world today. You need to get the book entitled Hostages to the Devil by Malachi Martin. And, of course, you get the four-tape set, Malachi Martin four-tape set, along with that at a special price. You need to get the videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The three-hour, the four-hour, the ten-hour version, either in DVD or video. And I promise you, you will never look at the world through the same eyes again. That's they sold their souls for rock and roll. The video, or I should say the DVD, Megiddo 1, the DVD, Megiddo 2, the Da Vinci Con, which is put out by our good friend, Pastor Joe Schimmel, and then, of course, you need to get certainly the DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings. The Da Vinci Con is subtitled Hollywood's War on God. That's the Da Vinci Con. All of these will begin to introduce you to the other forms of religion. And, of course, the Da Vinci Con is about Gnosticism. Do you, of course, have you ever heard of the Gnostic concept that there are two gods? Everything is dualism. And, of course, you get into Masonry. There's this dualism there. This is the basic underlying, certainly, of the Manichaean religion, of the Marcion religion, of the Zoroastrian religion, of the Gnostic religion, of the Kabbalah. Understand what this is about. And then understand we're involved in the spiritual battle and being waged for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. We want to just simply point out that if you believe in our message, you think it's unique and important, we hope many of you, if you possibly can, will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or support our ministry. Quite frankly, we need your help to maintain the outreach we have. And, of course, we have almost 60 outlets every single week. 9 hours a day on satellite, on one satellite and on several other satellites and several internets and stations and shortwave. But, well, it's a big undertaking. Remember, I'm a retired orthopedic surgeon. I do what I do. I do not get paid for what I do. I do it because I believe I'm called to try to teach people, to get them to think, and to try to bring them closer to our Lord. So understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
On the Information Radio Network, I'm Laura Lee Shaw. President Bush has been meeting with Iraq's vice president as he works toward a new policy. Mark Smith has the details.
The president says Tariq al-Hashimi knows how terrible Iraq's violence has been since it's claimed several lives in his own family. Bush says he's determined to find new ways to curb the bloodshed.
We want to help you. We want to help your government be effective.
Hashimi, a Sunni, has been critical of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, but says he agrees with Bush on the imperative of victory.
We have no other option in Iraq but to achieve that success.
However, aides now say Bush won't be ready to announce his new plan till after New Year's.
Six meat processing plants owned by Swift & Company have suspended operations for now after federal agents raided the plants and arrested an